Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 17, text 30. This chapter is entitled as Punishment and Reward of Kali. This text 30 has been done before.
36.
Oh, I see. Text 36. Kali Rubacha Yatra Va Batha Batsyami Sarva Homa Tavagaya Lakshaye Tatra Tatrapi Tvam Atteshu Sharasanam Kali Rubacha Yatra ka vyatha vatsyami Sarvabhauma tavagaya Lakshaye tatra tatrapi Tvamatteshu sharasanam Yatra kavatha vatsyami Sarvabhauma tavagaya Lakshaye tatra tatrapi Tamatteshu sharasanam Yatra kavatha vatsyami Sarvabhauma tavagaya Lakshaye tatra tatrapi Tvamatteshu sarasanam माता जी Rubacha, the personality of Kali said, Yatra, anywhere, Kwa, and everywhere, Va, either, Atha, thereof, Vatsami, I shall reside, Sarvabhoma, O Lord, or Emperor of the Earth, Tava, your Agaya, by the order, Lakshaye, I see, Tatra Tatra, anywhere and everywhere, Api, also, Tvam, your Majesty, Atya, taken over, Ishu, arrows, Sharasanam, bows. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. O Your Majesty, though I may live anywhere and everywhere under Your order, I shall but see You with bow and arrows wherever I look. Please repeat after me. The personality of Kali said, O Your Majesty, though I may live anywhere and everywhere, under Your order, I shall but see You with bow and arrows wherever I look. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The personality of Kali could see that Maharaj Parikshit was the emperor of all lands all over the world, and thus anywhere he might live, he would have to meet with the same mood of the king. The personality of Kali was meant for mischief, and Maharaj Parikshit was meant for subduing all kinds of mischief mongers, especially the personality of Kali. It was better, therefore, for the personality of Kali to have been killed by the king then and there, instead of being killed elsewhere. He was, after all, a surrendered soul before the king, and it was for the king to do what he was required. So I will read the next verse also, so that you cover, that covers the entire statement of Kali. Next verse, 37, says, Tanme dharma bhritam shrishtha sthanam nirdeshtum arhasi jatraiva niyata vatsya atishtam ste anushasanam. Therefore, O chief among the protectors of religion, please fix some place for me where I can live permanently under the protection of your government. Let the guards stay here and control the people who come. Tell the guards to stay here when the class goes on. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The personality of Kali addressed Maharaj Parikshit as the chief amongst the protectors of religiosity, because the king refrained from killing a person who surrendered unto him. A surrendered soul should be given all protection, even though he may be an enemy. That is the principle of religion. And we can just imagine what sort of protection is given by the personality of Godhead to the person who surrenders unto him, not as an enemy, but as a devoted servitor. The Lord protects the surrendered soul from all sin and all resultant reaction of sinful acts. So, Parikshit Maharaj saw Kali, personified Kali. Kali is a person. He is a person with a specific feature. And what was the feature of Kali like? Kali looks like a Shudra. Kali's nature is that like a Shudra. Shudra is a coward. A Shudra's nature is that he is a coward and his business is to serve. The Brahmana's business is to instruct, educate. Kshatriya's business is to give protection. Vaishya's business is to supply the need of the society and make profit thereby. And a Shudra's business is to serve. So Kali was not a leader. The other three classes of people are actually leaders. Brahmana is a leader, a Kshatriya is a leader, and even a Vaishya, in a way, is a leader. These three persons don't serve for the sake of their sustenance. Actually, everyone is a servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But these three higher classes of the Varnashram society, Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, they will never take up a job. This taking up a job for money is the business of a Shudra. Another quality of a Shudra is, why Shudra is a Shudra? Because he is in the mode of ignorance. So that is what Parikshit Maharaj could see, that this person is in the mode of ignorance, but he is dressed up like a Kshatriya, who is actually meant to give protection. So he immediately, and not only that, he saw that Kali was torturing the bull, who is actually Dharma personified, and Mother Earth in the form of a cow. So Kali's business is to destroy Dharma and torture Mother Earth. So these are the symptoms or qualities of Kali. So that's why it is always, we always have to remember that this influence of Kali is going to spread in this age. Parikshit Maharaj was a very powerful king. He was a ideal Kshatriya. So he could subdue Kali. During Parikshit Maharaj's time, Kali did not have any chance. During Parikshit Maharaj's time, Kali was completely under control. Therefore, Kali very treacherously arranged to get rid of Parikshit. He influenced the Brahmana boy to curse Parikshit. And as a result of that, Parikshit Maharaj had to leave this planet. As long as Parikshit Maharaj was there, there was no chance of Kali to spread his influence. And what is Kali's influence? Kali establishes Adharma. Adharma, dharma stands on four legs: austerity, mercy, cleanliness, and truthfulness. And when these four principles of dharma, four pillars of dharma are broken, the four pillars of adharma appear. And those four pillars of adharma are meat eating, not only meat, fish, egg, onion, garlic. These are all non-vegetarian stuff. So, these are introduced. Then, other legs of adharma are meat eating is the first one, intoxication, illicit sex, and gambling. So Kali's influence spreading can be noticed, can be seen by how these activities are increasing all over the world. All over the world, in meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex, and gambling are increasing. Therefore, the first principle of dharma, if anyone wants to follow, stay on the path of dharma, if one wants to abide by the dharma, then he must give up these four sinful actions. In this way, we have to see things with the eyes of the scriptures. Our business is not to see things with our own eyes. The real way to see things is through the eyes of the scriptures. Shastra Chakshusha. Through the eyes of the scriptures. And when we see through the eyes of the scriptures, then what do we see? Dharma is decline. There is a decline of dharma and there is an increase of irreligiosity. How do you make out? By seeing how meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex, and gambling are increasing. Sometimes we see people, they pretend to be practicing dharma. They seem to be saintly personal. They seem, from their external appearance and from their claim, it seems that they are religious people. But when we see that they are breaking the principle, then immediately we understand that they are not following dharma. They are actually promoting adharma. In the West, whenever Srila Prabhupada used to have any encounter with the Christian leader, Prabhupada's immediate question was that why are you eating meat? Why are you eating meat? Even their scripture says that thou shalt not kill. Now eating meat involves killing. So Prabhupada used to question from that point. Why are you eating meat? Now if we notice that these religions are based on meat eating and intoxication, the part of this particular religion, Christianity, is eating meat and drinking alcohol. They consider that eating meat and drinking alcohol, drinking wine, is a part of the religious activity. In the name of religion, they drink. In Europe, the monasteries are places where brew beer, especially in Germany. All the monasteries are brewing beer. Monastery, Jaya Shushi Gornetai, Jaya Shushi Radha Madhanu. Jai in India also there used to be one rum, brand of rum. The name of the brand was Old Monk. So the rum, which is made by the monk, or meant for the monk. Especially in Germany, I'm sure it's in other parts also. Yeah, in Germany especially. The monasteries, the places where the monks live, the religious Christian missionaries live, that are the places where they brew, they make beer. In Italy and Spain, the monasteries make wine. So what kind of religion? Now from normally people will say, oh, they are very religious. But when you see from Shastra Chakshusha, from the eyes of the scriptures, then it becomes crystal clear. That's not dharma. In the name of dharma, they are promoting our dharma. Similarly, some other religion, in the name of dharma, they are killing cows. So how can we accept it to be dharma? When we look at from the eyes of the scriptures, it's not dharma, it's adharma. They are promoting adharma. People may not like to hear that, but at least from our understanding we must be clear. At least we must understand that we should not indulge in these acts. We should never indulge in these acts. After Chaitanya Mahaprabhu it was saying, it was happening. Like those who are from Bengal, they know that some group, they claim to be the descendants of Nityananda Prabhu. And their recreation, their pastime is to eat fish. They say that Nityananda Prabhu's line has the right to eat fish. But Shastra Chakshusha, from the eyes of the scriptures. Then another group, there are few, these are known as Apasampradaya. They are not Sampradaya. They may claim that they are the followers of Nityananda Prabhu and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but they are not. They are not bona fide. They are not the real, authentic sampradaya. Similarly, there are some sampradayas, they smoke ganja. Actually, smoking ganja has become a very common thing among the so-called sadhus in India. When I first went to Rishikesh, Haridwar and Rishikesh, I saw that all the sadhus are smoking ganja and charati. And I was shocked to see that. Like, how can one keep his mind straight by smoking with intoxication? And some religion even promote illicit sex in the name of dharma. And gambling. This is also another cult of Mahaprabhu, apparently a follower of Mahaprabhu. The sampradaya, one of the requirements, one of the prerequisites to qualify, to belong to that community, that they have to get somebody else's wife and run away with her. So this is what is going on in the name of dharma in this age. Now whose agents are they? Bhakti Vinod Thakur exposed them. Bhakti Vinod Thakur said that they look like a Vaishnava. Tilak ata aka kopni para. They have tilak. They dress like a Vaishnava. Dekhte Vaishnaver moto, they look like a Vaishnava, but ashole shakto kajer gata. But in their activities, they are not like Vaishnavas, they are like shakto. And eoto ek kalir chala. These are the agents of Kali. Bhakti Vinod Thakur very clearly pointed out, although they look like a Vaishnava, they look like a follower of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but they are actually the agents of Kali. So these are the very basic things that we have to become aware of and safeguard ourselves. That's why Bhaktivinoda Thakur's established way, which was followed by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Srila Prabhupada, the pure line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what is their principle must abide by these four activities of dharma in the form of austerity, mercy, cleanliness and truthfulness. And what they have to do in order to follow these four principles: no meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex and no gambling. No compromise. For a devotee who wants to follow the path of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, wants to follow the path of dharma in this age, must follow these four principles. Unfortunately, we are noticing some deviations are entering in ISKCON also. Like, especially those who are drifting away. They think, okay, smoking, intoxication, that's how it starts. What's the harm in taking a little ganja? Or a little bit of intoxication. And then another thing that becomes prevalent is having affairs with other women. Or other women, married women are having affairs with other men. So we should be very, very careful that four regulative principles is a must for anyone who wants to remain on the path of dharma in this age. If we want to follow Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's path, if we want to follow the path of dharma, if we want to become the follower of Sanatana Dharma, we must follow this four principle of abstaining from this sinful activity. No meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling. Then we'll become situated on the platform of dharma. Then only we'll become qualified to practice dharma. If we don't now follow these four principles, we won't be able to practice dharma. And what is the dharma for this age? What is the yuga dharma? Hare nama, hare nama, hare nama, iva kevalam, kalo nasteva, 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 gatiyana. In the age of Kali, there is no other way, there is no other way, there is no other way besides chanting the holy name. Jaggai sankirtana prayai jajanti hi sumedhasa. Krishna varnam tishakrishnam sanga pangastra parshadam yaggai sankirtana prayai. Krishna appearing as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has established the Yuga Dharma. And what is the Yuga Dharma? It's a kind of a yajna, it's a sacrifice. What sacrifice? Sankirtan, congregational chanting. And why it's a sacrifice? Because this process will teach us how to offer everything to Krishna. This process will qualify us to sacrifice everything for Krishna. And first of all, what do we sacrifice? To remain on this path, we have to sacrifice our false ego. And this is a very sweet way, very wonderful way of sacrificing our false ego. The way is, we use everything for the service of Krishna. Even if we have false ego, we can use it. What is the symptom of false ego? Pride. And this pride is, I am a servant of Krishna, that's my pride. I am a servant of my spiritual master. I am not an ordinary person. I am a special person. Everybody wants to become special. So let us become special in a special way. Becoming the servant of Krishna, becoming the servant of Guru and Govinda. That is Sankirtan. Sankirtan means offering everything to Krishna, using everything in Krishna's service. Sometimes people think, oh, Srinadoki Sunichena, Taroriva Shahishuna. That's, yes, that is there. But Amanina Manadena, desiring no respect for ourselves, we offer all respect to the others. Another consideration of man means to measure, to recognize who is who. And what is that recognizing who is who? Who is a devotee of Krishna, who is not a devotee of Krishna, and who is an offender of Krishna. We don't treat the offenders to Krishna like Srinadoki Sunichena. We don't hesitate to tell an offender, please, I don't want to have anything to do with you. Please stay away from us. If that is your attitude, if you are offensive to Krishna and Krishna is pure devotee, then we have nothing to do with you. That is the manavi. Otherwise it will become, everything is equal, everybody is equal. A pure devotee is equal and an offender is equal. An innocent one. So treat everyone same. No. That is not a Vaishnava. We treat a devotee in one way. We treat an innocent person who doesn't know about Krishna but needs to be educated. We treat him in another way. And those who are offenders, we treat them in another way. Keep the offenders away. If you are offensive to Krishna, we have nothing to do. So that is the business of Madhyamatika. Preacher must discriminate. Kanishtha Adhikari doesn't know how to discriminate. He doesn't recognize who is a devotee and who is a non-devotee. Kanishtha Adhikari thinks that only he is the devotee. Krishna is God and he is the devotee, only devotee in this planet. That's the Kanishtha Adhikari. Archayam ibaharai ujanga shraddhayate natat bhakti shuchanishu. He doesn't recognize bhakta, Krishna devotee. He is a Kanishtha. But Madhyamadhikari, Ishvare tadadhineshu balisheshu prisatsucha prema maitri kripa upekha jakarati samadhi. Madhyamadhikari is, he recognizes Krishna. And he has Shraddha. Prem. And then Krishna's devotee, Maitri. He has friendship towards the devotee. Kripa. He has compassion, mercy for those who are innocent, balish. And upeksha, disregard those who are offensive. This discrimination has to be done. And the basic principle is, whatever your propensity uses in Krishna's service, according to propensity. And there comes, this propensity brings in the consideration of Varnashram. Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra. Of course, ultimately, everyone is a servant of Krishna. That way, all of us are transcendental Sudra. That is the ultimate consideration. Not Sudra on the material platform, according to the Guna Karma Vibhagata. This Chatur Varnam Maya Shrishta Guna Karma Vibhagata. In the material nature, These four varnas have been ascertained by gunas and karmas. The three modes of material nature and the propensity of the individual. But as long as we are in the material platform, yes, we can. We can use this propensity. Whatever our propensity is, we can engage ourselves in that. Like Swami is a Brahminical, he likes to preach, he likes to teach. Someone is a Kshatriya, he likes to get involved in administration. Someone is a Vaishya, he likes to be engaged in arranging businesses and then Sutra. Who doesn't know what he wants to do, but he is simply engaged according to the service needed and determined by the higher authority. So there is room for us to give a vent to our propensities. But we must make it a point that those propensities are utilized in serving Krishna. Who determines the propensities and engagement? The higher authority. The higher authority sees, okay, this is the person's propensity. So let him do it. Let him be engaged in this service. So the submission to the higher authority is the beginning of devotional service. What is the purpose of initiation? Why do we take initiation? Is it just to get a stamp and a new name in the form of a new name? I am initiated because now my name is such and such Das. Is that the purpose of initiation? No. Initiation is formalizing the surrender. I am accepting somebody to be my leader. To be guru means spiritual leader, spiritual master. He will decide what I should do. I am not going to decide from now on what I should do. Therefore, adau shraddha, the spiritual life begins with the shraddha, surrender. And the surrender is, from now on, whatever you will tell me, I will abide. Therefore, it is very important that we understand what is the purpose of initiation. Sometimes we see they are so eager to take initiation, but when it comes to surrender, can't surrender. Therefore, it is up to the devotees to see the qualification of a person, whether he has become eligible. And how do we see that? How do we determine the eligibility? How surrendered the person has become. So initiated devotee means at least he has accepted one person who is going to surrender himself. We may not be able to surrender to all the Vaishnavas, but at least we begin with one person. First thing. And then the area of surrender will increase. It will become broader. More advanced means more surrender to the will of the Vaishnava. So in this way, we have to counteract the influence of Kali. These are the ways that have been given by Sri Chaitanya. Sankirtan. Sankirtan is a very wonderful method. What is the difference between other practices of religiousness, or what is the difference between the other religious practices with the Sankirtan, Yajna, Jai Shri Shri Gaur Nithai Ki Jai, Shri Shri Radha Madan Mohan Ki Jai, Shri Shri Krishna Balaram Ki. The other process of religion, in a way, demanded that one has to give up material nature and come to the platform of spiritual. In other ages, when one wanted to practice spiritual life, what he did? He left home and went to Guru's ashram. Completely leaving the material. But in Sankirtan, we have a very special facility. That facility is we can stay wherever we are. Thane sthitva shruti gatam tanubam manoti. One can be wherever he is. Thane sthitva. But he can tanubam manoti, with his body, mind and words, he can serve. Whatever, wherever one is, whatever he is doing, he can do that. Only thing is, he'll have to change his attitude. And that attitude is, not for me, but for Krishna. That's why in the Sankirtan, in this age, no one is expected to leave home. Or one does not have to leave home in order to practice Krishna consciousness. He can stay at home. Especially those who are householders. They can stay at home. But what they do? The home that they always thought to be their own house, now they have transformed it into Krishna. One doesn't even have to give up his family. Only thing is that he'll have to accept his family as Krishna's family. He doesn't have to give up his money. He simply have to accept that this money belongs to Krishna and has to use in Krishna's service. And in this way, in this age, the spiritual practice has become so easy. Isn't it easy? Or would it have been easier to leave home and go to the forest? Or to the Himalayas? How many of you would like to go to the forest? Priyavrata? So, that is the thing. At the most, you can do one thing, just move into the temple. Because the atmosphere is more conducive, close to the temple. That's what devotees like Priyavrata did. Priyavrata was a big manager of an art gallery in London. But he was a good man. He used to come to the temple every morning on his way to his job. You know how he used to look those days? He had a beard, goatee. They call it French cut beard. He had a beard. He used to come to a temple wearing a three-piece suit and a tie, because that's what was expected. He's a manager of a company, art gallery in London. So he was, but he used to come to the temple every morning on his way to the office. He used to attend the Bhagavatam class. And he was very humble. Not that he is not humble anymore. He used to serve all the devotees. After the class, devotees used to take prasad. Priyavrata used to, on his own. Nobody expected him to serve. But he used to serve the devotee and take a little prasad after serving, and then he used to go to his work. And that was in 1986-87. No, I mean, that's the time I saw him. Yeah. I met Priyavrata in 86. I was impressed to see, he is a good man, very good candidate. And then all I had to do is just cut the last little bondage that we had. And I told him, Priyavrata, quit and join me. And he did that. He became a devotee. And that was, what, almost 18 years back, 88, 89, he became a full-time devotee. Joined me. And just have a lot of fun. Priyavrata used to drive me in Europe. And I used to push him. Priyavrata, faster. Driving like a woman. And one day I pushed him so hard that he drove faster than the Ferrari. In Italy we are driving, and one guy was driving a Ferrari. Ferrari is the fastest car. And Priyavrata drove faster than him. Ferrari was behind us. So this is how one becomes involved in Krishna consciousness. Yes, he changed his situation, but he didn't have to go to the forest. He had to just move to the temple and become engaged. Similarly, when I came here, Raghav Pandit started to come to the temple, and he was very, I could see that he was very sincere. And he used to tell me, Maharaj, ever since I started to come to the temple, I lost all taste to go to the work. When I go to work, my heart is always in the temple. And so I told him that if you don't like to serve Maya, then start serving Krishna. Quit that job and come into the temple. And he did that. He just went. The next morning he went. I told him that he could quit the job. And in one day he quit his job. And he came in the evening and said, Maharaj, I quit my job. I said, very good. Very submissive. Sarla, did he ask you before quitting his job? So also Pradeep, he quit his business and moved in. He was very nicely situated, very successful businessman, young man, set up his business practically on his own. But then he handed the business over to his brothers and just moved on. And also Seema had been very supportive. I can see that it must be difficult, like, for the householders to leave home and settle in a temple situation. Difficult, because after all, the house is like a kingdom. In the house, the man is the king and the wife is the queen. And all of a sudden, they retire from their kingdom and become a humble servant of the devotee. Stuff, but it is due to their sincerity, in their commitment, they do that. So there are many of you who made that sacrifice. Also, not only the king and queen, the others are princes and princesses. Whoever one is, at home he is a prince. But to leave that situation and come and join the movement is not easy. But due to their commitment to Krishna consciousness, they do that. And when they become a devotee, then they realize. Although they have become the servant, but whose servant they became? They became the servant of the Supreme Personality of God. Now, isn't it something very wonderful to be the servant of the biggest personality? Sometimes I hear some people come and say, "Oh, I got a very good job. I got a job with Microsoft." Why they're so proud of being involved with Microsoft or Rolls Royce or Ferrari or Mercedes-Benz or Sony? Why? Because it's a big company. Big company means a big boss. They're proud of being the servant of a big boss, isn't it? Job in a big company means the servant of a big boss. But who is the biggest? Krishna. So to be his servant means the servant of the biggest person. And then when we serve, then we get to hear, then we want to get to understand. We get to understand that we are not actually servants. We are actually his children. Although we start off with this attitude of becoming a servant, but eventually how do we recognize? What do we see? We get to realize that Krishna is our father. So if Krishna is our father, then who are we? Aren't we his children? Now, the father of a king is what? The children of a king is what? Prince. Prince and princess. So this is how we actually realize that this is the most coveted situation, this is the most desirable situation, to become a servant. So to be the servant of Krishna is the greatest good fortune that one can receive. And then when you become his servant, then what do we do? What is the business of a servant? Is the business of a servant to go to the forest and start fasting and not eat and sleep? Is that the business of a servant? If a man has a servant, say you hired a servant, what do you expect out of your servant? You expect a servant to serve you, isn't it? But if the servant doesn't serve you, but he is very austere, he doesn't eat, he doesn't sleep, will you be pleased with that person? Or there is another person, so there is one servant, you have two servants. One servant, he doesn't eat, doesn't sleep, doesn't talk, doesn't move. And the other servant, he serves you very nicely. He always takes care of your need. And whatever you need, he is immediately ready to give it. Do it for you. And he eats like it's a lot. And he sleeps whenever he is tired. He eats and sleeps and sometimes he also shows his temper. Now, who will you be more pleased with? Who will you be pleased with? Which servant is a better servant? One who doesn't eat and sleep and don't render any service? Rather, the criterion is to serve, the one who serves. And, yes, he eats, he sleeps, he does various things. So that is what is expected out of us as servants of Krishna. What does Krishna want us? Krishna wants us to serve. Now how do we serve? Say a man has hundreds of servants, thousands of servants. Now in order to engage a servant, doesn't he need a structure? In the structure, some are senior, some are junior. All are servants. But some is in a leading position and some is in a following position. A good servant just follows his leader. Like we are talking about Microsoft. That's a company that has few hundred thousand employees. Now, are they all working on their own, deciding, well, I am going to do this? No. What does it do? There is a structure. There is a CEO, the head of the company. Then under him, there are different lead, departmental heads. And under those departments, there are sub-departments. So this is how there is a structure. And everyone is serving according to his position. Similarly, in ISKCON also we have a structure. And we must follow that structure. What is the structure? The structure of ISKCON is Srila Prabhupada is the head. And then there are different zones. These zones are controlled or managed by the zonal secretaries of Prabhupada, who are known as governing body members. These zonal secretaries together form a governing body. So this governing body is the ultimate managing authority of ISKCON in Srila Prabhupada's physical absence. And then these, under them, these zones have temples. And the temples have different, each temple has a temple president. And then in the temple there are different departments. The departments have different heads. So this is how ISKCON has been structured. So we must respect that line of authority. The structure, this structure has been given by Srila Prabhupada. So we, in this way we must abide by the line of authority and become engaged in this structure that has been given by Srila Prabhupada himself. And what is our business? Our business is to establish the Yuga Dharma. How do we establish? by practicing it ourselves and encouraging others to practice. Then when we encourage others to practice, that is called preaching. When we came here, we were just a handful of devotees. And devotees were practicing very nicely. And then people started to come, and when they came, they were told, who is Krishna, what we are doing, and what is our relationship with Krishna. So in this way we educated, started to educate them. And then we inspired them to become also devotees. And it is happening. Our congregation here is growing. I mentioned about Raghav Pandit. He was the first one to join ISKCON here in Ujjain. At least according to our preaching. Then Mitesh, Puneet, in Sony. So they all are coming. There are many. You can see so many devotees are coming from Mangalore. So this is how we have to distribute this gift of Sri Chaitanya. And in this way this movement will spread. Preaching is our mission. We have to save the conditioned souls in this age of Kali by giving them the right information and by inspiring them to become devotees. And that is why we have built a temple. That is why we are inviting everyone to come. And that is why we are trying to inspire them to become involved. And in this way, if we become fixed up in our mission, Krishna consciousness will spread in a most wonderful way. We must remember that our main business is to preach and encourage people to take to this process of Krishna. Our community is growing, our movement is expanding. It's a very good sign. And it's important that we create a very nice atmosphere here. If we make preaching our mission, then the atmosphere will automatically become very, very Let us preach. Let's expand. Let's distribute this mercy. Let us inform everybody the benefit of following the path of dharma and benefit of becoming a devotee of Krishna. Then they will respond. And we, while preaching, we have to make them understand that you don't have to change your situation. You can stay at home. You don't have to change your situation. You can stay at home. Chant Hare Krishna, follow the principle, and gradually turn your home into a temple. Make your family Krishna's family. Whatever you're doing, do it for Krishna. This is how everyone has an opportunity to become involved in this glorious process of Krishna. Hare Krishna. Does anybody have any question?
Karakana Krishna, is there any question?
I'm just saying,
of Kali? Didn't I mention it before? You attended that. Does anybody remember? What was my answer to this question, Mitravinda? Give it up. I mentioned one verse. Do you remember that verse? It begins with Kaler. Then? Kirtana Deva Krishnasya Mukta Sandhaka. You got the answer? Kali Yuga is a very age of sinful activity. But it has one great advantage. That is Kirtana Deva Krishnasya Mukta Sandhaka. Very easily one can become free from material bonds just by chanting the holy name. Chanting the holy name, is it difficult? Very easy. Does it take any money to chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama? Does it take a lot of energy? Do we have to strain ourselves to chant? No. Very easily you can chant. Anytime, anywhere, you can chant. Now see how simple the process has become. Just by chanting the holy name, we can become free from material bonds. So Parikshit Maharaj saw it. Therefore he said, although Kali is a very, very difficult, dangerous age, but because of this wonderful benefit, let Kali be. Thank you, Mr. Any other question? Yes, Radha.
So you can imagine that we have this family because we were talking about the different Italians and that we have discriminated according to our propensity, and that's one of our Dharma system is established. But I don't think the difficulty with this because I always was taught from young that I should not offend anybody who is Christian, who is ideology or not.
Yeah. So bring a Kanishtha Adhikari up to the platform, Madhyam Adhikari, without hurting him. Alright? Not that if you bring him up to the higher platform, you have to hurt him. And if you hurt somebody, when you realize that you hurt somebody, just go and tell that person, I'm sorry. Actually, my intention was this. I'm sorry that I hurt. And also, in a subtle way, try to make that person also understand that who actually got hurt. Who did you hurt? You didn't hurt the person. You hurt his fault. So sometimes hurting the false figure is good, to smash the false figure. Or sometimes you have to get rid of the false figure, you have to smash it. Palvalakaya. But the creature knows the way to do it. Creature knows how to do it. And to tell you frankly, that's what I have to do all the time. As a spiritual master, what's my business? As a spiritual master, is my business is to flatter one's false ego? Or get rid of the false ego? And to get rid of false ego at once. Because, you know, it's so closely connected to us. Like sometimes, you know, a glue gets stuck in your body. And to peel it out,
it will hurt. Because although it's not actually a part of your body, but it has become so badly stuck in your body that it has become almost a part of your body. And to peel it off, you know, it will hurt. But is it for the benefit? So that is what, but at the same time I also know, like as I was saying, do it without hurting. And if it hurts, then apply some bomb. After you have done that. You see, Krishna, preaching is an art. I always say that. You know, preaching means guiding people in the path of Krishna consciousness is an art. And this art will become more proficient in that art the more we recognize our objective. Just like, you know, surgery is an art. A doctor cuts open the patient. But he must know how to do it for the benefit of the patient. That's why, you see, just like a surgeon has to be very sensitive. Similarly, a preacher has to be very sensitive. An insensitive person cannot be a preacher. A preacher has to be very sensitive. Sensitive means that he feels when someone is hurt and then immediately acts accordingly. The moment he sees that somebody is hurt, there's no harm, I'm sorry, or please, try to understand what, why I did this. So that is preaching again. Like, then you have to explain to him. That is also preaching. So preaching is a continuous process and it's a reciprocal process. And there is a difference between preaching and pravachan. Pravachan is just one-sided, but preaching is reciprocal. Any other question? Okay, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande.